Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey gang, what's going on? Kevin Goatee here, brand new Gutting the Sacred Cow. This week, we have Dan Dunn from The Imbiber and The Adam Carolla Show, and he is going to throw Blair Witch Project down the well. Joining me is special guest host Delvin Cox. You know him, you love him. Now, let's get right to it, and let's see if Dan Dunn can throw the Blair Witch Project down the well on Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best movie review and movie debate podcast out there, period.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah, it's trending right now. Yeah, that doesn't matter, cause we're gutting the sacred cow.
I go steady and I French kiss. Yeah, but daddy says I'm the best. Delvin Cox, guest host, name that film.
I have no fucking clue.
Dan Dunn is our real guest today. Dan, can you name that film? What movie is that from?
Can you say it one more time?
Sure. I go steady and I French kiss. Yeah, but daddy says I'm the best. I promise you, you both have seen this a ton of times.
American Pie.
Not a bad, along the right lines, but not it. The answer is National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh, that's right.
They're in the room hanging out. Jane Krakowski. Yeah, that's a classic. Kevin Goatee, Delvin Cox. Dan Dunn is joining us. Dan, how goes it, my friend? What's new and exciting?
It's very nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me on the show. When is this going to air? Is the holiday still happening when this airs?
It will be. Yes, it will be. So fire away if you've want to make an announcement early on.
Oh, just, you know, holiday cheer. That's all.
Oh.
I'm into it.
Yes,
it will.
Got
some eggnog going. I was on, you mentioned, Kevin, you listened to me on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep.
And we just did an eggnog segment recently. And I got to tell you, it's probably the best eggnog I've ever had.
What?
We did this mixologist friend of mine, Paul Sanguinetti, created three different style. Well, the same eggnog, but he mixed it with bourbon. One of them was bourbon, one was rum, and one was brandy. And man, I love it. I don't know why we can't drink eggnog all year long.
I never liked it. I tried it. David Till is the greatest joke. Eggnog, or as I call it, elf cum.
Think it would be funny if you busted it out, like if you showed up to a beach, like a summer barbecue,
right?
And you just bring a batch of eggnog, and everybody like, "What the fuck's wrong with this? Can I curse on the show?"
Yeah, of course you can.
You don't want me to? Okay. Yeah, no. So like, you just show up, and they're like, "Hey, everybody's bringing rosé and stuff," and you're like, "Hey, I got I whipped up a batch of eggnog. Happy 4th of July."
Oof. Yeah, let that sit in the sun for an hour or two.
Oh,
I want to be milk, that guy now.
You get that milk bubbling, little warm milk. Ooh, and eggs. Mm,
just want to be that guy showing up at parties with eggnog in the middle of the summer.
I'm going to do it. I promise. Oh. Yeah.
Dan hasn't come here to talk about eggnog for the most part, at least he can for now. But listen, Dan came on here because he has a film that he just cannot stand for the life of him. And a few people were trying to float this idea past me, and with Dan, I said, fuck it, let's do it. Dan has chosen the 1999 absolute mega hit, The Blair Witch Project. At the time, a 99 budget of $60,000. A box office haul of the time, $248.6 million. Turn that into 2022 money. I did. $99,700 budget. A $413.5 million gross. By far and away, the most profitable film of all time. That is a
crazy,
isn't it? I know. I saw it in the theater. I'm sure Delvin did too. Dan, I'll assume you as well.
I did. Yeah. Okay. And look, let me say this
before we get to the whole shebang. Don't start firing those cannons yet. We're going to talk about IMDb score. IMDb, as we know, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. Dan is our guest. Dan, I ask you, what do you think The Blair Witch Project has scored on the old IMDb scale?
What's the scale go to? Is it
100? 1 to 10 with decimal points. Right, 1 to 10 with decimal points.
6.8.
Delvin Cox.
I'm going to be the asshole from The Price is Right and be like 6.6.
Well, Delvin Cox, The Price is Right method worked. It is 6.5.
Oh. Wow. Right there. See? Great minds think alike, Delvin. Yeah.
Facts.
Let's go to Delvin right now. Delvin, Rotten Tomatoes score, as you know, is 1 through 100. What do you think the critics gave Blair Witch Project?
I'm going to say 82.
Dan Dunn.
Critics, let's see. I remember it being kind of mixed, so I'm gonna go 72.
86.
Wow. I think Ebert loved this, didn't he?
You tell kinda, me. I didn't focus on him, but yes,
kind of recalled that. Yeah. Oh, wow. So critics loved it.
I'm floored that they loved it this much. Now back to you, Dan Dunn. What did the audience give this score?
Do they like it more than the critics? Because I think some people love this film, but I also feel that there are people. I'm going to go 81.
Delvin Cox.
I'm going to say, because the audience score usually like on horror movies is either really high or really low. So I'm going to say it's not too bad. I'm going to say 70, 75.
You're way off. 56%.
Oh. Okay.
Wow.
See?
I can't believe that.
This is going to go to my main observations of the movie. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this does speak to my sort of general big observation about this film.
Quotes? How are you going to get the dad across? They said that about 3 or 4 different times. And that's all I picked up from the quotes, because this film is not quotable one bit. How about you? How about you, Dan? Any other quotes pop out at you?
No, I just rewatched it like 2 weeks ago in preparation for this, and honestly, no, no, there's no great. I mean, if you go back in the pantheon of horror movies, you know, you can quote lines from most of the big ones, but not this one. Maybe because it's just intentionally all over the place.
Delvin, how about yourself? Anything jump out at you?
I wrote down some quotes because I was intensely watching the movie, so I got some quotes.
All right.
Think of the joy of being in a really good film. That was an actual quote in this film.
And you wrote that down. That's what I'm more surprised at.
Oh. It's a reason I wrote it down.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if that would fall under the memorable quotes.
Yeah. Thing. I agree with Dan on that one. That's a little bit dodgy.
We'll get to that.
All right. Carry on. What else you got on that?
I think it's safe to say at this point we are lost, which they also said quite a few times.
Mm. Okay.
And also my other favorite line, it's not the same log, Mike, when they kept passing that same
when they got lost.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, I mean, look, it's no Here's Johnny. It's no, I mean, think of some of the great, you know, lines from horror, you know, from Stephen King movies and, you know, even if you were to throw, I mean, if you throw Jaws in there, kind of scary, you know, like this was no boating. Like there's just, but I think part of it is because the actors were intentionally playing it as though they're not actors. So maybe they're not really dramatically delivering lines. That's giving them credit.
Yeah, that's maybe way just, that's way too meta, Dan. I appreciate that angle, but that is way too meta for this film.
Okay.
Right. Five fun facts. The three main actors were paid. Why don't you fellas take a guess? How much do you think these actors were paid a day?
$5 and a pack of bubble gum.
Okay. Dan?
$200 a day.
$1,000 a day.
It was an
8-day shoot. Donahue, Michael C. Williams, and Joshua Leonard made a lot more in the years after The Blair Witch Project was released. Williams claimed he ended up with about $300,000.
Good for him. That's good.
Which in residuals.
All in, yeah. Which is five times the film's budget. Go figure. Number two, the actors used GPS trackers to find their instructions for the day. Production programmed waypoints in the GPS unit for the actors to locate milk crates with three little plastic containers in them. Each plastic canister contained notes on where the story was going for each actor who would not show the other actors their paper. From that point, they were free to improvise the dialogue, provided they followed the general instructions given to them.
That's actually pretty cool.
Didn't know that.
I like it.
Not aware of this.
It's a scavenger hunt to do a job. That's what really cracks me up. Does someone need like a compass to go to do like a Taco Bell 8-hour shift? I don't think that's necessary. That's not me. I just kind of said it. 19 hours of footage was edited down to 90 minutes. The first cut, though, 2.5 hours.
Oh. That's a lot.
I would have committed suicide if I had to watch that movie for 2.5 hours. Yeah, that would have been the end.
I would have stood in the woods and yelled for the witch to take me, take
Begged
me.
Begged for that witch to come. Yeah. Please make it stop.
A lot of people thought the three actors were actually dead. Artisan, the now defunct studio that bought the rights to the film, went great lengths to keep Donahue, Leonard, and Williams away from the press for a time and did not correct websites like IMDb that claimed the actors were deceased. Donahue's mother even received sympathy cards.
I remember this. I remember all of this. People thought the whole thing was real. That's kind of why it blew up, because everybody was like, oh, we got to see this. This is real footage.
Yeah. It's called a lawsuit, dummies. That doesn't happen. Number five, and this is no surprise, some moviegoers got physically ill because of the shaky camera work. The regional director of Lowe's Cineplex Entertainment estimated that on average, one person got sick per screening and asked for a refund.
Well, yeah, that's, again, I have a lot of thoughts about this movie, but first is, I understand that this is an important movie. I look at this movie, and for various reasons, in terms of being obviously a found footage movie, spawned a lot of found footage movies, the amount of money that it was made for and the amount of money it made, also a big part of it was like blurring the lines between fiction and reality, right? Like we just talked about, like people thought they were really dead. For a lot of reasons, this is an important movie, and I acknowledge that. And it really was groundbreaking in so many ways. I don't enjoy watching the movie. And one of the primary reasons is I get mad motion sickness. And that movie made me nauseous in the theaters. Like I had to stop. I had to look down. I didn't leave, but I had to stop watching it on the screen because of the shaky camera work was really messing with my equilibrium.
And if you thought that gave you motion sickness, watch the highlights of the 2009 World Series where the Yankees beat the Phillies. That'll really do you in.
Oh, my God. That would be bad. Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah.
But listen, that's one of Dan's highlights. But before we get to more of those, let's go to the audience. Dan Delvin, you saw this on Twitter where we ask a gutter, where the audience gets to come on and ask you questions. So at Newark Night, Brandon Oglesby, If you were in a found footage movie, what would be more embarrassing for you people to see? Your nose running as you cried, screaming your head off as you run into the woods, or pissing your pants from terror?
What would be more embarrassing to yes. see myself doing?
Yep.
I mean, all of that sounds fun. I would love to see my pissing my pants would be funny. And what was the other one? My nose running?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. And yeah, what was the other one?
The other
not much
one
embarrasses me.
Yeah.
I'm not embarrassed by
screaming,
much,
yeah. screaming your head off as you run into the woods. Yeah. If you're not embarrassed by the one story no. you told in Corolla with the VR porn helmet, nothing's going to yeah, stop you.
No. I mean, why wouldn't you scream? You're scared. You're in the woods. Yeah. It's the natural reaction.
Yeah. That, you know, Brandon, usually hit them one in the head. This one, a little bit of a swing and a miss, but I know you'll bounce back for the next one. At Lord Snurts, would Scooby and the gang have solved the Blair Witch mystery? And who would be under the mask during the big reveal?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's deep.
I like the Blair Witch, and I don't want to let this listener down, but Scooby's not real.
Oh,
yeah. Sorry.
What?
Scooby's not real. Shaggy, although I did, speaking of my VR porn and all that, I did recently watch a parody of Scooby-Doo porn.
Was Velma
Shaggy very wrong? No, I'm not kidding. It just came across it, and they're like, oh, Shaggy. And it was Velma and what was the other one's name?
Daphne.
Daphne and Velma.
Scissoring.
With Shaggy. And Shaggy, man, Shaggy's got some junk down there. Yeah, going on.
Shaggy's got a scrappy do hanging down there.
Shaggy's got a loggy. Yeah.
How dare you watch such filth and not tell me where it's at?
Yeah.
Oh, it's called the internet. Yeah. Who would have been revealed? Well, I mean, what? That's the whole thing. I just felt like the movie disappoints. Like, there's no real resolution to it. There's no, I don't, it didn't scare me.
All right. Don't get too deep into your own weeds before we start.
I have an answer.
Okay. Who is it?
Paris Hilton.
Okay. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Does she reveal her, take the mask off and you see a big cold herpes sore in there? Cause it was that time of month for an yes. outbreak.
That is the Blair Witch.
Allegedly. By the way, when you watch that porno with Scooby-Doo, did Shaggy leave a trail of Scooby snacks all over Velma's glasses?
The Scooby snacks were flying. Yeah. I didn't watch to the end. I don't like my porn.
Do we watch any porn to the end? Is that a thing?
I don't like porn. I don't like my movies to be gimmicky. Okay. Right. Blair Witch is a gimmicky movie, right?
Right.
And I don't like my porn to be gimmicky. I like straightforward linear narratives that are that are not reliant upon tricks.
I have another guess. I assume that Fred was wearing a kerchief and then decided to hang himself autoerotic asphyxiation style at the end when those two were getting banged out by Shaggy. True or false?
That could have happened. If not, we should get on making that follow-up scene.
I love my own ideas that go nowhere. Yeah, I actually had to watch a porno for a porno podcast. And let me tell you, folks, would you believe that there is a 2.5-hour Saved by the Bell parody film with including bloopers? I'm pausing.
That sounds awful.
You know what? The dialogue is laughable.
What's a porno blooper? What is?
I can imagine a porno blooper.
Give me an example
is.
Of a porno blooper.
I think pulling the dick out and find a little bit of a Hershey kiss on the end of it. That's something.
Maybe. Like wrong hole. Wrong hole be a blooper?
Wrong hole or right hole depends on what.
Premature ejaculation, I guess, would be a blooper, right?
Get it in the eye, probably be a blooper.
Or my favorite is I watched one and in the middle of banging, someone farted. I watched like the Zapruder film 18 times to figure out which one farted, but someone farted and neither broke character to tell you what kind of level professionals we're dealing with here, gentlemen.
There you go.
Might have been people from the Blair Witch. Did they even go on to do anything else after Blair Witch?
No. In fact, I remember reading, it didn't make the five fun facts. The girl started becoming a weed grower, like a professional like hemp grower. The other guys, obviously, I don't think they did act anymore. Whatever. I remember reading she decided to do get into weed growing. Next, at They Call Us a Movie, what is your favorite cryptoid urban legend, and are there any good movies about them?
Cryptoid?
Wait. Yes. Cryptoid urban legend. I don't know what that means. I'm just reading this shit as I see it, Dan.
I don't know what that means.
Just so urban legend. Let's just call it an urban legend.
Oh, right.
It's an urban legend?
Yeah, just basically.
Cryptoid.
Like the Blair Witch. Where I grew up in Philadelphia, there was a decommissioned mental hospital called Byberry. Mm-hmm. And everybody in Philly, there were lots of tales of Satanists that haunted, that were there, and they also could conjure ghosts. And so going to Byberry was very scary. Like I remember going there one time when I was about 12 years old with my friends at night. And usually it was just like teenagers drinking and shit, you know, but they would scare kids if you came there. So the Byberry was kind of like our Blair Witch thing.
I like it.
I'm surprised that Darren Dalton and Lenny Dykstra did not take many groupies back there and have sex in those hallowed grounds.
Could have happened. Might have. Lenny, especially. Yeah.
Or Kent DeColvey holding the camera for everybody. Yeah. At Race to Canis Almighty Ray, Blair Witch got scary only in its last 30 seconds. Good choice to gut. Question, if they found your final footage, Dan, what would they see on that tape?
It's funny. I just was thinking about that the other day. I had this morbid thought about what if, you know, what was I watching? I was watching 6 Feet Under, an episode of that. And you know, I don't know if you remember that show, but in the beginning of that show, someone died in the beginning.
Surprise.
And some of the deaths were just nuts. Like one was a guy was looking at his mail and he was walking down the steps and not paying attention. And while reading his mail and slipped and broke his neck and died. And it was like, just like that. And that it struck me that what if something happened, I don't know, got electrocuted or whatever, what would be left behind that would be incriminating? So I don't know if it's found footage, but it would be like when people came into my house, what would they find? And should I be cleaning this stuff up in anticipation of that? You know, like, do I have I don't know if I do have anything weird.
Based off of this conversation, it's probably your VR headset.
The VR headset is probably, I got weirder things than that, probably, where people think, but I'm not going to talk about them here.
the hard drive's the obvious answer for everybody involved. Yes. Our memory.
What's the rules on that? Are they allowed to just go into your computer? No.
Unless there's a subpoena or a warrant or whatever it is.
But you wouldn't give a shit because you're dead.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, who cares? Yeah. Okay.
Next question. Something cast. If both of your podcasts were to suddenly disappear, which episode would you want to be found years later in the woods of Burkittsville?
This one? No. Because it was about that? No. Totally. No, I would say, I don't know. I'm for my podcast, What We're Drinking. Yeah. Geez, I like a lot of those episodes. I did my year in review. I like Bryan Cranston's always been a fun guest. We've had him on. Matthew McConaughey was a great guest. Pitbull. I don't know. Some fun ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the good ones, I hope. We just had Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny was on, and that was a fun episode. So if they found that, I'd be like, cool with it. They'd think, all right, this show's not bad.
God damn it. You should have asked them, when's this new season going to drop of It's Always Sunny? It's been so long. It's annoying.
Well, they're not even starting until January, I don't think, shooting.
Ugh. Too long for my liking. I think that's going to wrap it up for Ask a Gutter. So there we have it. And because no one in podcasts listens to the end of episodes, Dan, tell us your plugs. What are you up to? Where can we find you? All that good stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, you can find me on Instagram at the Imbiber, T-H-E-I-M-B-I-B-E-R. Also on Twitter at that same handle for now. I keep threatening to leave Twitter, but I don't know if I'm going to. And then my podcast is available everywhere. Podcast stream. I'm on Corolla every month. I'm going to be doing the show with Adam in Philly, January 6th. which is interesting day to be doing that. And then my show, January 5th at the, I know, especially the Corolla show. And then as Kevin knows, he'll be coming to my live recording of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn at the Stand Comedy Club on January 5th in New York City. A killer lineup of comedians. And I don't know. That's all I have. My rest of my life is boring.
You should storm the steps at Philadelphia on January 6th to reenact it.
We're taking January 6th back. It's not going to be about insurrection. It's going to be about me and Corolla drinking.
And then climbing atop the Rocky statue together.
Going up those Rocky stairs. Yeah.
Holding hands like Rocky III as they gaily frolicked in the surf. That was a good time. Delvin Cox, where can they find you? What are you doing, buddy?
I'm on this podcast.
You're goddamn right you are.
Yeah, but you can find me on Twitter at Delvin_Cox. Check out the Delvin Cox Experience anywhere you get podcasts. Check out, play some video games. If you like video games and nerd stuff, check out that. I'm really pretty cool on there.
Gutting the Sacred Cow is where you find all this hilarity. Don't forget to go on our YouTube page. Give us a follow, guttingthesacredcow.com for merch. guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com if you wish to find us there and want to advertise with us, of course. And listen, don't forget Fantasy Football Jibber Jabber is on in the metaverse. So when you're done watching, virtual reality porn Dan Dunn, head on over to Fantasy Football Jibber Jabber. Listen to our fantasy football picks and NFL bets. 57% against the spread, this guy is. You're welcome. As well as jokes, goddammit. Fantasy Football Jibber Jabber in the metaverse. And thank you all for hanging out with us every week. And please continue to leave a 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence review. Before Delvin's flashing five, bet your ass. Before we jump into it, we have a little bit of business to take care of. And that, of course, today's episode is sponsored by Pacific Sensei. Pacific Sensei is a boutique farm in Oregon that grows top shelf quality hemp flower. Hemp flower that looks, smells, and smokes like weed, except it's low in THC, so it doesn't get you high. If that's what you're looking for, Pacific Sensei flower is loaded with CBD so you can enjoy the benefits of cannabis without feeling burned out, paranoid, or anxious. Relaxing after work or even at work. Wow, what kind of job do you have to have where you're going to get to do that on the job? Let me guess, forklift operator, not on that list. A day at the beach or on the go, Pacific Sensei flower is not intoxicating, so it's perfect anytime. Lab tested, fairly legal, and discreet shipping right on your front door. Pacific Sensei flower is greenhouse grown, seedless, and always fresh. Go to PacificSensei.com. That's Pacific, SENSI.com. Use promo code GTSC, as in gutting the sacred cow, for 10% off. That's PacificSensei.com. Promo code GTSC for 10% off. And here we go. Dan Dunn, you have been frothing in the mouth like Mickey Rourke trying to get a beer or drink in Barfly. I know you've seen that a million times. So, Delvin, let's let the man come here and do what he's meant to do. And that is, of course, Gut
the
sacred cow. God damn, we got that right for once.
Yeah.
That's funny. Syncing it up. So you want me to tell you about what I don't like about it?
Everything don't like about this.
As I said, in terms of cinematic significance, I think it's a very important movie. In terms of a cinematic experience for me personally, I just found it boring, nausea inducing. I didn't like the characters. I found the one guy, the cinematographer and the female character were more abrasive than the tall, skinny guy. But it didn't scare me. It didn't hold my attention. All I kept thinking is, when is this? It was like I was being like Satan had me and was shaking me like a yoo-hoo. I'm stop it. Please make it stop. And what is it? Like, I just want one genuine scare. And I didn't get one. It just didn't happen in this movie. And so what I think ended up happening was, when you talk about these critics, and that's why I think the audience reviews were down around 50%, is the critics were taking into account what this movie meant in the grand scheme of things, how it was going to transform the film industry, which in a lot of ways it did. But who gives a shit? When you're there, when I'm watching a movie, I'm not thinking to myself, you know, in 20 years, we're going to be talking about how important this thing is. I just remember sitting in that theater the first time I saw it, feeling nauseous, feeling like I'd been ripped off. And then when I rewatched it again recently, I didn't get nauseous because it was on my television as opposed to having the big screen right in front of me. But at the same time, I was like, God damn, is this a boring movie? And the actors weren't good. I'm assuming a lot of the extras were just normal people that they grabbed. Maybe they didn't seem like they were actors.
No, they did not. That's why I'm laughing.
And I know that the aesthetic of the film was intentionally low budget and they were shooting it on, I believe it was on high eight. So video. I don't know, man. I want my movies to be more of an experience. Even crappy movies, like, I don't want to say crappy Marvel movies, because we talked about this, Kevin, off the air, but
right.
Even movies that I don't have a lot of interest in, if they look good and they sound good and the people that are in them understand the concept of acting, all right, fine. Give you an A for effort. This one just kind of bugged me. Didn't scare me. Made me sick. Felt like they ripped me off. I'm spending, what would a movie cost back then? 99.
$10? I would say eight or nine. Yeah, right around.
Eight or nine
there.
$9.
Sure.
Yeah. That was a $3 movie. That's what I'd say. Wow. I felt like they owe me $5. And you know what? If somebody from the Blair Witch Project is listening, will send me $5, all's forgiven. I'll come back on here and say I like the movie.
That means they would only have 413,500,999,995.
That's right. And listen, man, critics are like assholes. Everybody's got one. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that did enjoy this movie. It's the same thing as this is directly spawned. What was the one?
Paranormal Activity.
Paranormal Activity. Same thing. Boring. I was bored. This isn't scaring me. Like,
I want to state the obvious. Don't you think the idea to have such shitty actors and horrible footage is that's what it is supposed to be? If you were to see professional actors acting out in the, or even quasi, or even community college actors in the middle of the woods carrying on, you go, this is a goddamn plan. I'm out of it. I'm tapping out. I just don't buy it. So to have them like a bunch of monkeys fucking a football out there with their antics and horrible, I'll get to the dialogue, all that, it would be out of character for them to, again, have any semblance of a polish on this film.
No, but this is what I'm saying is
right.
The whole idea was they were trying to blur the lines. Is this real? Is it fake? But it was fake. We all know this. They were actors. As you mentioned, they were paid $1,000 a day. They were not good actors at acting like they were not acting. That's what I'm saying. There's been other found footage movies that have come along. A great example, like a Project X, right?
Right.
Those were real actors in that movie. Miles Teller was in that movie. Oliver Cooper was in that movie. And a lot of the actors that were in that film have gone on to do other things and become successful actors, most notably Miles Teller. Mm-hmm. And there's an art to that. There's an art to playing someone who's not playing someone. Well, and I don't think that the actors in this film were very good.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Because I think it's an important aspect to ask you. Just to push back just a little bit. If people actually believe this was real, then does that mean the actors did their job? Because like Kevin said before, a lot of people thought this was real. They were sending the family like condolence letters and stuff like that.
No, I think it just means a lot of people are stupid in America. No offense to the stupid people out there, although they won't know that it's them that I'm calling stupid.
Right.
Here's the thing.
I agree.
The proof is in the pudding. You said it earlier. None of the three principals went on to ever do anything again. They were in one of the most successful movies of all time, and yet they could not parlay that into professional career in the movies. That tells you because if there's, I live in Hollywood, and trust me, there's one thing I know: if you're part of a hit, they want you, because then the film industry wants you, because then that covers their ass. Oh well, we cast her; she was in one of the most successful movies ever made. It's not my fault that our other, but they can't act. So, and I'm sure that became What's that?
Maybe they thought she was dead.
Maybe they bought it. Maybe they were so good that they're like, yeah, these really were real.
Dude, so you're, are you trying to say they Kaiser Soze'd this shit?
I would have liked to have seen this exact concept executed with better actors, maybe a little bit more direction and a little bit more purpose in terms of the scares. I know that you said they were leaving clues. A lot of it was improv. The problem with the improv is if you don't have people that are really good at that, I just think with a better cast, maybe they would have conjured some more scares, some more frights, some more. I just, you know, I want my horror movies to scare me. Sorry, this one didn't scare me.
Right.
I want them to not make me motion. I don't want them to give me motion sickness. This one did. I want to feel like there was a little more time and effort put in. Felt too haphazard.
The man who says he doesn't want motion sickness but straps on VR goggles to jerk off. That, my friend, is a conundrum.
Well, there's not a lot. I'm not moving too much, you know. By the way, anybody listening out there, if you're wondering, who he's like, on the Corolla show a while back, a year or so ago, I talked about the fact that during COVID, a friend recommended getting VR goggles because it will change the way that you watch porn. And so I did that. And for about 3 weeks, I was fascinated. And then the whole ritual of doing it really became a pain in the ass, like having to put the thing on and sit up, and because you gotta be able to look down. It doesn't work.
You have to put everything in arm's reach. Like, you can't put the lube in your hand first and then the goggles on, because then you get shit everywhere.
Well, you gotta hold the hand. You got handles too. Yeah, yeah. Move around, and you know, so then you gotta have the left handle because I'm right handed, and the right hand is, you know, lubed up, and you don't want to get lube all over your controller, because then you'll fuck your controller up.
Things that you would have told me back when I had a Commodore 64, I said, get the fuck out of here.
Can you imagine taking your controller to GameStop and saying, hey, can you fix this? And it has lube all over
it. It looks like a telephone wire from Pigeon Shit. That's what it would look like.
It is funny that you bring that up, Kevin, though, is how spoiled we are now, because I remember the early days of the internet where you had the modem. And you would download a photo. It'd be like a photo of a naked woman. And remember, it would slowly down. Mm-hmm, you start to see it's coming down. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. Oh, there's the boob. Keep going. Stomach. Keep coming. And it would take that picture about 2 minutes to download.
Yes.
Two? You must be rich.
Yeah, no, I had a fast modem.
Yeah, I had a 28.8, and I would go, oh my God, I can get the same picture in the mail in shorter time. as long as mom and dad didn't pick up the phone. Oh my God. Dan, any more points about why Blair Witch sucks coming from you? Is that it?
I just think that, you know, yeah, no, those are the general points. It should have been scarier. It could have been much scarier. The acting could have been better. It meandered a bit. You talked about it being 90 minutes, the original cut being 2.5. This could have been a really interesting short. And I mean that, like, if they would have done it as maybe a 45 minute. Now, I get why they didn't do that, because you can't release it in the movies and they wouldn't have made $400 million or whatever they made. Kudos to them. But I don't know. I thought upon the rewatch, I might think differently and go, you know what? This was this movie creatively was better than I remembered it being, but it wasn't. It felt like a chore watching it again. And that's not what I want if a movie feels like a chore, it deserves to be gutted. That's what I say.
That's a spirit.
That's why I'm gutting it.
Give me a number 1 to 10. What are your thoughts on this film? Number 1 to 10.
What am I rating it?
Yeah, what are you rating
it?
I'll
give it some points for historical significance and for how it did usher in some changes to the film industry that I think were necessary. Because another point that I didn't bring up that's a positive is, I think this was the first time that, or one of the first times that film, like young filmmakers could go, oh, wow,
I could do
I don't
that.
Need to be part of the system in order to make a movie.
Right.
I could just make a movie. And man, did that ever usher in some really, really talented people. I don't know the timeline, but even like Soderbergh had done Sex, Lies, and Videotape for hardly any money, very similar type fashion. But that's what I'm saying. Soderbergh, and I think Sex, Lies, and Videotape predates this movie.
Oh, yeah. That was 88.
Okay, yeah. And but again, really, really low budget, really, you know, not, but done well. Clark. This one had the elements. They just didn't quite all work together. But again, for ambition, I'll give them 4 points just for ambition. Significance, I'll give them one. So I'll give it a five.
Five. That's fair. Okay. By the way, fun facts. Did any of you guys see Blair Witch 2?
No.
Which one?
That was, that was a scripted version, right? I heard it was awful.
But Book of Shadows or the other sequel?
Book of Shadows. Yeah, I saw it in the theater because I was, 22? Yeah, 22. And dumb, I guess. I paid to see this in the theater. I walked out saying, oh my God, that is a manatee size abortion. In case you're wondering, it had a $15 million budget and brought in $47.7 million. That is insane. 4 out of 10 on IMDb and a 14% of Rotten Tomatoes. That all adds
terrible
up.
Terrible movie.
Yeah, it's I couldn't even tell you one thing about it except I walked out and go, God damn it. I should have seen American Pie 2 again. Anyway. Classic. Delvin Cox, why don't you get in the batter's box and take a few swings at this?
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
All right. Permission to speak, Mr. Goatee.
Granted.
Can I say what I want to say?
You know the drill.
I've been holding this in for a while, since fucking Sunday. I'm going to tell a little story.
Oh, good.
I love Kevin Goatee.
I love you too.
He's my friend.
Me too.
My dear, dear friend.
Thank you.
So when he messaged me, because I'm supposed to be on a podcast vacation. I take my break around this time. So he messaged me like, hey, buddy, want to come host this episode with me? Like, fuck yeah, I'll do it. I'll stop for Goatee. I said, what movie is it? Fucking Blair Witch. I said, fuck. I gotta watch this bullshit again. So I strap in. I go watch it. As I'm watching it, I'm texting Kevin Goatee, this movie fucking sucks. I fucking hate this movie. This movie is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Worse than Avatar?
Yes, by far.
Wow.
I wrote so many notes about this movie, how much I fucking hate this terrible, awful movie. I know you were saying about history and stuff like that. Fuck that. This movie stinks. It is bad. It's an hour and a half? It felt like I was watching this shit for 3 hours. The whole movie is just them walking around and talking.
Oh, sounds like Lord of the Rings to me.
Yeah, but you don't get the payoff of Lord of the Rings. So it's even worse.
I'm teasing, I know.
You're just walking around. Oh, let me tell you about some of the riveting conversations. One of the conversations about Mike's chest hair. A whole 10-minute argument about a map. Oh, they found a dead mouse. Oh, yeah, the best part of the movie, this Pulitzer Supplies movie, what the fuck you want to call it, Heather taking a piss.
Right.
Yeah. These are all actual scenes in this movie.
I can't get mad at her taking a piss, a cop in a squat, because that's what people do with dumb shit. When you have a camera on and someone does something like that, I go, ah, gotcha. I mean, listen, I have a video of me wiping my ass in my shore house. My buddy pops through the bathroom window outside filming me, and I give him a play-by-play. I go, look at that. One, not that bad. Here's number two, not that bad. Three, ah, we're done. LBI 1999. Can't wait. Go ahead, Delvin.
So for a movie that's supposed to be found footage, that's a lot of goddamn camera cuts in it. Who the fuck edited this movie? Like, did the Blair Witch just say, you know what, since these kids are dead, let me edit this for them and put it out? Like, how did they get all this editing and all this creative? Did they edit it while they were being chased? Did they edit it while they're dead? Did the ghost edit it? How the fuck did this movie get so edited in a perfect way that where the police just can find it and put it out there? Get the fuck out of it.
Yeah, you couldn't even suspend your disbelief for that. You're like, yes. Nope. Yeah, I got you.
They should have the Judd Apatow cut of this, the 2.5 hour real version, or the 19 hour real version. I mean,
there's no character development though.
Zero.
Yeah, no. Just zero. None. And I just, doesn't that have to happen in a movie? Don't the characters need to be changed in some way for it to matter to you?
Memorable.
Anyway. Likeable.
The plot, there's no discernible plot, really. I mean,
or unlikable for that matter, Delvin. They could be hated, they could be loved, they had to be something. They're all nondescript. Like, they could all apply to be FBI agents and no one would know why they passed, because no one would recognize them in a crowd.
Or they would care.
That's true.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, sure.
If all three of us, we're three good looking gentlemen who relatively smart. If we were gonna go look for the Blair Witch. What are one of the things that you think you'd carry with you?
I carry a set of car keys and drive the fuck away, and you two would go find that, because I don't play that shit in the woods. Thank you.
That's a good answer.
Thank you.
I would have had some sort of weapon.
Yep.
That's a great answer.
A knife at the very, very least.
I mean, you're out in the woods. You just don't know. You know, there was that scene early on where they encountered the two guys. Who the hell knows? Like, who's out there?
Yes.
You can't be out in the wilderness without any sort of, did they have any, I don't remember them having, a means of contacting the outside world, really.
It was 99. Cell phones were barely around. I borrowed my dad's when I was in college for a minute. But, I have an answer, two answers. Ready? Bear spray and lube. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do with either of them.
I have a simple answer for both of you guys.
All right.
Flashlights.
That's true.
Why did nobody fucking have flashlights? You're in the fucking forest, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. No one has a flashlight, a lantern, nothing. You know what you're out there for. You pack supplies clearly to do this. You don't have anything, so I got to sit here and watch fucking an hour of you in fucking darkness moaning and shit? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
How the fuck you plan for something and you don't have flashlights?
I'll play devil's advocate. The flashlight would be the light on the camera. That's what they could use that for.
No, I'm not buying that bullshit.
I'm just, all right. Well,
that is, no.
Throwing it out there.
If you're going camping and you're going to make fire and shit like that, you're going to at least have a flashlight, a lantern, or some shit like that. Unless you're a goddamn Junior Woodchuck. Get the fuck out of here. Nobody does that shit. This movie is fucking stupid.
Oh,
I'm watching this shit. It's so bad that most of the scenes got the shaky cam, like Michael J. Fox is holding the camera the whole movie. And then you can't see shit half of the movie. It is badly made. And the fact that they conned so many people out of their goddamn money to watch almost a 2-hour movie where nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens. And the worst thing about it, which drives me more crazy about it, is you can explain everything we saw in that video. You can explain. And I'm going to give you a simple answer. Crackheads.
Oh, and this should be good.
Think about it.
Uh-huh.
They go to they go in the forest. They find some weird rocks just scattered everywhere. Moving the weird rocks? Crackheads. They go to an abandoned building.
I think you're confusing the rocks that crackheads are interested in with rocks in the forest.
They probably thought they were the same thing. Let's
What about the Rock himself, Dwayne Johnson? How would he play? Because they could smell what he's cooking in another campsite away.
But Delvin, it is along the lines of what I said about Byberry. Like, that was the scary thing, was that there were like teenagers out there, you know, graffiti and doing drugs and all the shit that were being attributed to Satanists and whatnot. So I think probably the same.
Yes.
They were attributing crackhead behavior to the Blair Witch.
Yeah, they go into the house, clearly the crack house. They see all this stuff written on the walls and stuff like that. Then they get attacked by an unknown force. It's a crackhead. Crackhead attacked them and killed them.
Looking
simple
for
explanation. Yeah.
Who is it? Tyrone Biggums in the crack house?
Probably. Okay, but now I'll go back to you. But wouldn't the crackheads then have taken the camera equipment and sold it? To buy more crack. So there could be a hole in your argument right there.
That's a good point.
Crackhead would not have left that shit behind. That's valuable.
Or cut the lens out and smoke crack through the camera. Yeah. Now we're talking.
You know how much crack you could buy off a high 8 camera?
At a DAT machine?
Even though it got
water in it, apparently. This is our own movie we're writing here, guys. It's a lot. This is high comedy. What else you got, Delvin? Anything else?
Well, the big scene, the quote-unquote big scene in the movie where Heather gives this big-ass dumb speech into the camera. She's all snotty-nosed and stuff like this. Irks me so much for this simple reason. The last time she talked in the camera, she put the camera down so she was completely in focus. This time, she has the camera way on her fucking face so we can see her nostrils. Can't see what she's saying. Why didn't she just put the camera down? Why?
Actor's choice? I don't know.
She found some crack.
Yeah.
That's why her nose. She came across some of that crack, and that's why the nose is all runny. She's jittery. She's all fucked up. She can't figure out what to do with the camera.
She wants to see people scratching her wrist and having blood coming. She's scratching so hard.
I do think you're onto something here, Delvin. I do believe the entire movie was really about crack now.
Yes. I think so. It was about crack.
Mystery solved.
Yeah. Blair Witch Project solved.
This is a hillbilly version of New Jack City without Nino Brown. Hilarious.
Well, there we go.
A whole bunch of poopies.
Delvin, what else? You done? You got a number for me or are you done?
The number I give this film.
Oh, come on. I already know what this is going to be.
You already know what it is.
It's a fucking zero if I know you.
I'm going to be generous.
Oh.
You said that.
Oh, one.
One.
Okay.
I fucking hate this movie. This movie is awful. It is badly made. It is badly written. Did they even write this shit? What the fuck did they do? It is terrible. It's nothing about this movie good. I don't even see how people got conned into seeing this movie. I agree. Dad, you should get your money back. America should get their money back. Don't ever watch this movie. I don't ever want to see this movie a fucking again. This
you know,
is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
You know what I learned? I need to find out who that marketing department was behind this film and hire them and get this. That way they can get this podcast out to the masses and then more so.
The Kevin Goatee.
Yeah, I'm going to find that marketing. That's how I'm going to make my money here.
The Kevin Goatee Project.
Bet your ass. These notes brought to you, of course, by guttingthesacredcow.com. And of course, don't forget, grab a merch hat bag, cell phone holder, whatever. Who cares? Just come by and say hi. Thanks again for giving us an hour of your week all the time. Notes. Heather looks like Christina Applegate's uglier sister. I almost got a spit take out of you, Delvin. Shit. If they weren't doing a documentary, they'd easily be confused for improv students because their repartee is viciously annoying.
Yeah.
Yep.
The kid picking his nose with the mullet is the embodiment of Maryland folk.
Well.
I like the story of the Blair Witch. Seven kids are in that house who got killed. All of them stand in a corner while the first one goes, "Hey, assholes, run. They can't catch you all." Remember, you don't have to outrun the lion. You just have to outrun the fat kid.
Facts.
By the way, do you realize if Baby had been there, none of this would have happened because nobody puts Baby
in a corner.
See, there's a movie quote sticks right out for you.
I like
Baby would have been like, "Fuck you, Blair Witch."
Dan, yeah. that was a 2-0 fastball I was not going to miss.
Thank you.
The woman who lived in that trailer they were interviewing looks like if Iggy Pop was in the middle of transitioning to a woman.
Isn't
also,
he?
No.
Close.
Also, she looked like she was on crack, so that goes back to it.
That's meth, I think. That's more meth. Heather needs to shut up and stop interrupting with nothing of value. Who does she think she is? Robin Quivers? Got you both. Thank you.
Yes.
Delvin, over under a number of times black people watch this movie and said, "Fucking white people."
a lot. Over.
I would 75 and a half?
75 and a half, easily.
Minus
we have a lot of shit white people do, by the way.
I know that. Minus 175. I'll take the over. I don't care. I'll lay the vig. Okay, here's common sense Kevin chiming in. Are you ready? Okay. I hear weird sounds in the woods, and I am gone. Check that. I don't go into the woods because I'm smart.
You're hearkening back to the old Eddie Murphy. We're talking about white people, black people.
Yeah.
That was the old Eddie Murphy thing. Yeah. That's the difference between white people and black people in a horror movie.
Yeah.
White people went into the Amityville horror and they're like, oh, hey, and he said, if black people had gone in and done that, and they go, oh, baby, this is the best place ever. But I want to get out.
Yep.
Too bad we can't stay.
Yep,
exactly.
Yep.
White people are like, nah, we're moving in.
Minute 25, I noted this, I jotted this down. I'm begging for Heather to slip on a log and break her neck instead of listening to her prattle.
Oh, yeah, she was
Jesus. Wow, you really did. You really don't like Heather.
The majority of their conversation is like any married couple when debating if they're lost or not on the highway. Piles of rocks outside their tents and nobody hears them. And these dildos don't drop their stuff and immediately leave? That doesn't happen.
I agree.
Why did Dora the Explorer give her map to anybody? Why would you not hold on to that map if I'm Heather? Why would you give that to anyone? That is your expedition. You hold on to that. You don't give it. Especially to a dude you just met that day. It's not like it's your buddy that you dragged along. Some rando? Ugh.
Yeah.
Kicking the map into the creek is something no one in their right mind would ever do. Because if that was me and I was with that person would get a bundle of Blair Witch sticks shoved up their ass so far, ooh, we could set a fire to it and be seen from Baltimore.
How the fuck you kick a map?
Yeah, right?
Well, okay, well, I will say this. In defense, I will say this. In horror movies, I mean, obviously they skewer this in that Geico commercial where why don't we get in the moving car? No, let's go to the chain. It's a staple of horror movies. Of course, they're going to do the wrong thing. They have to do the wrong thing in order, which is fine. I'm okay with that. I don't try to apply logic and reason to what people are doing in horror movies as long as the movie
is
scaring me. Yeah. Like, that's all. Like, of course you're not leaving the house because then the movie would be over. Of course you're not going to, you know, great example. Movie that scared the shit out of me. The Strangers.
That's an excellent movie.
Okay.
I love it.
I just love the idea. They're out in the middle of the woods. They're in this cat. They could have got out. There were some shit was going on. When that girl knocked on the door the first time and was asking, even though she was pretty, I would have been like, somebody knocked on the door at 2 o'clock in the morning and we're in the middle of nowhere. Let's get the fuck out of here. Right? Like, just in case, let's get out of here. It feels weird to me. And the light bulb can't get unscrewed. Little things that would go, I should leave. And of course they're not going to leave because then the Strangers would be over. I'm okay with it. I'm okay that they didn't leave because it scared me. And then didn't he go out for like a pack of smokes or something at one point?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there that sets up the scene when Liv Tyler's doing the dishes and you see the guy in the mask behind her. And I'm like, that would not happen in real life. You wouldn't be like, oh yeah, go get smokes at 4 a.m. after we've already had an unexpected visitor. We're fine. Of course you're not going to do that. But it worked.
You know who works?
See,
crackheads.
Yeah, there you go. Back to that. I mean, I'm exaggerating. I understand. I'm exaggerating with the don't do that. But can we have a horror film that doesn't just placate just to the dumb tendencies of people? Like something kind of smart would go, most people are not going to do that. I understand you have to set the stage just for the scares, but some of these things you're like, oh, just stop it. Now you take me out of the mix.
Okay. Well, if you're a real master, you can set it up in a way where they don't have a choice. Case in point, I think I
saw
The Shining.
Oh, the show.
She couldn't leave. There was only one way out, and that was the snow cat.
Yeah.
And he said, go check it out. Go check it out. Because he dismantled the snow cat. Can't get away. Kubrick. Nobody's going to confuse the guys that made this with Stanley Kubrick.
By the way, that film, very overrated. Done in this very podcast. Not scary.
The Shining?
Nope. Not scary.
Oh, my God. I scared it. Well, your name's not Danny. And that was the little kid's name.
Yep.
And I was like 6 when I saw it. He's like, Danny Boy with the axe.
Yeah.
Fucking scary. When he hit Scatman Crothers in the chest with the axe. Come on, man.
That was so foreshadowed. Ooh. Next. Listen to the episode, Dan. You might get a kick out of it. Next one. I was really waiting for one of those three to drop a game over, man. Game over. When they saw those stick people in the woods and hang up in the trees, I should say. I love people going hiking vacations, as I call it, vacation for poor people. You know where you don't get lost? Caribbean beaches, baby. Caribbean beaches. These three cross more streams here than in Ghostbusters and gay nightclub bathrooms. I knew I'd get a hit out of one or both of you, so I'm glad I'm two for two. Hey, you know when I often get frustrated or lost, I too sing patriotic songs at the top of my lungs?
Yeah.
When they're belting out God Bless America? Okay.
Isn't that in the Cub Scout guide?
I like the one dude who just gave Heather the Dennis Hopper-esque pop quiz hot shot treatment. Drinking game. Every time they say, turn it off, drink, and punch the person to the right.
Oh. Man.
I was going to say, damn that for your podcast. That's a perfect play in there. Oh, good. Someone brings a bundle of sticks that you could buy on Etsy and drops them in front of your house. Another time to go now. Why go through the whole charade of pulling that dude's tooth and rolling up whatever else they had in there into a whole stick package? They can't hear anything. Obviously, they're dense. Just nail it to her backpack or the tent and, you know, do away with the arts and crafts portion of this film. Wouldn't you all just say, well, this isn't fun anymore? Between her jabbering away and body part showing up in a bundle of sticks, I'm going to drop all that equipment right there in the creek and begin a brisk to moderate trot in the opposite direction. Instead, they're all shooting the breeze like they're at the quad of their local community college, just never a care in the world. Now, too, Dan, I also had something like this in my neck of the woods. There was an abandoned house kind of like this in the middle of Mercer County Park where I grew up. I never went in there, and I sure as hell did not go in there after this movie came out. And now it's demolished. And that's the end of the story. That went nowhere fast.
Much like the movie.
Yeah. Her constant screaming while looking for the guys doesn't really help her survival odds, because she must be terrible in the game of Silent Ball. Do you boys remember Silent Ball in school? No? Never had that? You sit on your desk. And someone throws a ball around, and if you drop it, you're out. And if you make a noise or say anything while catching it or anything, you're out. Silent ball. I guess it's a Central Jersey thing.
It has to be. I've never heard that a day.
All right. Watching this for the first time.
I went to a Catholic school, and it was a different thing with balls. It was mainly with the priests, and they're like, you better stay silent about this.
Me,
I don't
want to
relive that dark memory right now. Yeah.
Kevin,
why did you bring it up?
You say dark memory. I don't believe you. Watching this for the first time, you were shitting your pants. Stop lying. It had a solid ending, but this is the Sixth Sense watered down. The rewatchability is non-existent. But look, it's what you expect. Crappy acting in a found footage film. They set solid parameters. Don't expect good actors, you can't. You're not expecting good dialogue, we didn't get that either. Just like you would expect cheesy one-liners and stuff blowing up in a Schwarzenegger film, this opened the gate for the aforementioned Paranormal Activity films, like Dan said. This was the OG and the, quote, best of the bunch. I use that in quotes. There is, like I said, zero rewatchability, but I did not despise it as much as I thought I was going to. I thought it moved along at an okay pace. Hour and a half. It's really hard for something to drag an hour and a half, unless the name of that film is Napoleon Dynamite. That, my friends, is outlawed in the Geneva Convention.
Yes.
I'll never watch this film again, but it has served a purpose. In 1999, this was a 7 or 8, depending on the marketing campaign. In 2022, it is a 5 out of 10 for me as well, Dan Dunn. So we agree. Let's see what those blowhard queefs on Rotten Tomatoes have to say. Critics, 5-star reviews. The Blair Witch Project is pretty tame in regards to what it chooses to show you, or more accurately, withhold from showing you. But for its time, it was a significant achievement. One of its great strengths is that it breaks the teenage bloodbath formula. There is not a Jason or Freddy to be found. Instead, Blair Witch is a thinking person's horror film that exploits the imagination's power to terrify.
No.
A pause for effect. Mm-hmm. There was a considerable number of people who went to go see the Blair Witch Project believing it was a documentary. They're called NASCAR fans. That's how... Thank you. That's how uncommercialized found footage was as a conceit, and how elegantly crafted this movie is. The scariest shots from someone's little high 8 camcorder document the students losing their bearings, giving way to panic, and finally falling victim, though off-screen, to unphotographably evil presence. I don't like using that word, unphotographably. I don't like that. It doesn't flow.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
All right. Sustained. Critics, one-star reviews. Watching the movie gave me the same bewildered feeling I got when I finally saw A Clockwork Orange in college. Quote, this is what the fuss was all about? Funny, I said the same thing about Clockwork Orange when I saw it in film class, but I did not say that the first time that I had sex. Next one. A testimony to the power of marketing a film. I said that and I agree. They want to just scare us by confusing us, disorienting us, and by playing a simple trick on our inner ear. What we have here is a group of kids who scream like banshees, uttering obscenities without a clever piece of dialogue. Hey, if they hate those three things, they must have hated The English Patient too. Sometimes take shots, Dan, and they don't land. What can I tell you? Amazon 5-star reviews. Oh, this one's good. Sad part is, I worked with Neil Fredericks on another film, Abominable. Sadly, he died in a plane crash sometime in 2004. Then not long after that, I also lost another good friend in 2004, Matthew Diedrich. I'm heartbroken, and I still am. Great guys, great film. I miss them both. Signed, Lindsey Graham? Oh. the guy's running obituaries in an Amazon review. I love... Is the irony not lost? Oh, this is great.
Neil Fred? Oh, who's the cinematographer?
Yeah, and Matthew Diedrich. I didn't Google that because, you know, I've done enough time. Next one. It's a movie. And this is a review. This reminds me of the Simpsons episode where Homer's on the couch and goes, this movie just turned into a play. If you're looking for a truly great horror movie, don't miss this. If you're a film student and want to see excellence in film art, this movie should be studied. And I say, if you speak like this in real life, you are probably a disciple of Dwight Schrute from The Office. Amazon one-star reviews. The movie wasn't the best, and I remember when it came out, everyone was talking about it. It feels like I'm watching a YouTube creator film. I'm much more entertained by YouTube, to be honest. I already bought it and watched it, so no takebacks. Does that mean also no double takebacks, quitsies, or a tramp stamp, a double stamp?
I think so. Mm. Glad I didn't have to pay for this movie, by the way.
I did.
It was on Tubi.
Oh, was it? I rented on Amazon.
For free.
Okay, Delvin, we get it. You save $4. The next one. The only good thing about this movie is the last minute. I remember sitting through it when it first came out and hating it until that last minute, which somewhat redeems it. It's like somebody who can't tell a joke telling a long, long joke that at the end has a pretty good punchline. My grandson, who's becoming quite the horror aficionado, wanted to see it because of its historical significance. Okay, fine. You owe me $1 for having to rent this. Think he'll overpay me? Hell no. Kids today. At the end, yeah, it was okay. By the time I was a half hour in, I was just hoping that every single character would die a gruesome death. I actually don't remember if they all did, even on the most recent watching. I hope so. Tell me if you know that they all died, and I'll bump up my rating to 2 stars. Signed, The Ghost of Brittany Murphy.
I was going to ask, did this bitch even watch the movie?
No.
The fuck did she see? She said the best part was the ending. It doesn't remember the ending.
All right. This one is a ramble one, but man, is it good. Thanks for nothing. I saw this when it first came out. Immediately demanded a refund from the theater. Never got one. And swore off of it for good. Since absolutely nothing happens in this film, I was free to spend time internally debating which character I wanted to kill first. Sort of like deciding if you want $1 million paid out in 20s or 50s. There is no wrong answer. But again, you will have some time to debate because absolutely nothing happens in this film. Some idiot kids go into the woods, shriek a lot, and an old lady makes arts and crafts projects out of twigs and rocks. Oh, and she throws some clothes around. And this is what people were fleeing theaters in terror over? Yeah, okay. Hey, did you guys ever go to a movie and demand your money back because you hated what you saw?
No.
I don't think I have. No. Mm-hmm.
That makes three of us. I always thought that
seems like too much of a pain in the ass.
Right. Yeah. It's like you go to the blackjack table, you know, whoops, guess what? I busted. I got 23. Next time, next hand. Yeah, that was.
I think one time I did have them give me my money back because the movie was so bad, and I didn't even ask for them. I'm like, yeah, here.
Oh, really?
I think it was Aliens versus Predator.
It wasn't that bad.
What are you talking about? It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Come on.
I don't know about that.
I mean, it's not Napoleon Dynamite or Christmas Story. Delvin Cox, did Dan Dunn gut the sacred cow?
Yes. Dan, you got it, the sacred cow.
Wow.
Congratulations.
I've come to do a job, and I did it.
You did, sir. Congratulations, Dan. Yes, this film, again, we said it, culturally appropriate. Not appropriate. What am I saying? Important, I want to say, instead. Does it hold the test of time? It does not. Fellas, it has been a blast. Dan Dunn, check out his podcast. Say it again, Dan. What's Drinking with Dan Dunn? What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. Delvin Cox, the Delvin Cox Experience. You know that. You'll find me on a few of those episodes in the past. And thanks again for checking out Gutting the Sacred Cow. We love you. Thank you all. Avita Zen.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.